Talk today about expectations. There's something in our lives where people expect certain things of us. We expect certain things of ourselves. And life is full of these expectations. Sometimes I feel sorry for the next generation because of the expectations that are heaped onto them. They are expected now to get a college education, but we don't know how they're going to pay for it. So they're expected to carry out certain debt. They're expected to help the next generation. They're expected to fix the problems that we as adults cannot fix, and we hope that the next generation will do better than we do. There's a lot of expectations out there. But they not only are for young people. I think of the expectations of the middle age, especially when they have older parents. I think of the expectations that our elderly folks are given. They're supposed to be the wise ones. And when we have problems, we go to them and say, how do we fix them? There are many expectations. There's one of my favorite movies is The Princess Diaries. And in it, this young girl finds out that rather than being a regular teenager, she is a princess who's heir to a throne. And she does not like it one bit. And they were talking to her about expectations, and the line that I love the most in this is, my expectation in life is to be invisible, and I'm really good at it. I think of the young man that was written to today, Timothy. Timothy had a lot of expectations put on him. He was Paul's protege. Now, I don't know how you follow Paul's act. Paul is this great evangelist. He's fearless. He goes and he speaks to people that nobody else will. And sometimes he's received very well, and other times he's not. He has rocks thrown at him in one city. In another, he had to be let out of the city in a basket because people were out to kill him. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a serpent. And by the time he writes this letter, he's in jail. And all that while, he's a strong, charismatic person. And he has chosen this young man, Timothy, to be his protege. It doesn't sound like Timothy really warmed up to the job. Sometimes we have greatness thrust upon us, and that was Timothy. We know of Timothy that he had stomach problems. He probably had ulcers, and I can't blame him. He was thrown in this position of being the pastor of a church that Paul had founded, that Paul had taken to great heights, and now it's Timothy's turn. And I'm sure Timothy heard every Sunday, you know, if Paul was here, it would have been done this way. We also find out that Timothy is younger than most of his parishioners. Must have been very threatening for Timothy. We also know that he's a crier. When Paul says, I remember your tears, I don't think it was one meltdown. I have a feeling after a lot of things, he would find Timothy outside weeping. So a grown man, young man, crying through this, and he was timid. And so now his mentor, the person who conferred all this responsibility on him, isn't even there to help him out. He's in prison. And so Paul writes a letter to Timothy to try to shore him up. And he says, I remember your tears. Now what's interesting to me is he didn't say, now Timothy, I put too much pressure on you. I put too many expectations on you. It's okay, Timothy. I'll get somebody else to do the work. He didn't do that. Basically, what he told Timothy was, yeah, the expectations are high. And no, you can't do it alone. But I have good news for you. And this is the good news for any of us who felt loaded down with the expectations of life, the expectations of family. He has good news. He said, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do anything. God hasn't given us a spirit of cowardice or timidity. He's given us a spirit of power and of a sound mind. The sound mind means that he helps us to figure things out. That's the gift. He also gives us another gift. And I think of Sadie when I think of how Paul said to Timothy, your grandmother and your mother, and now you have that faith. And I think of, I did not know Ruth Nelson, but I hear that she was a wonderful woman of faith, and she'd bring Sadie and Ainsley and her children to church. And she instilled that faith. I also know that Sadie comes from a very loving family, because she tells me that every week, and I hear about her family. I also know that Sadie received wonderful instruction from Jane Olson, and that she's talked about Jane and the wonderful time she's had with her. I also know that Sadie has had a wonderful church family that has nurtured her. God's given all these gifts, and he's given them so that we can live into the examples that we were given. That's a wonderful gift. We've had a very interesting confirmation class. It's the most interesting I have ever had. Because having one person, I thought, how am I going to do this? I didn't want to sit with a thing and lecture. So every Wednesday, we went to the Blue Horse Cafe. And over it, we would try and sample all the different coffees and teas and all the decadent desserts that were in there. And in that time, we talked. And what I loved talking to Sadie was, she got it. Sometimes people live a lifetime and don't get it, but she gets it. She connected the dots between faith, what you hear in church, and what you do outside the church. I'm so impressed with the way she stands up when people are hurting and when people are mean, and she says good things. Takes a stand for her faith. She might not open the Bible and whack people over the head with it, but she knows what the Bible says about loving one's neighbor. And I so appreciate that. Sadie didn't know this because I haven't done a confirmation class, but in every confirmation class, I always talk about the person. So I didn't know the hymns that she chose and the scriptures. She didn't choose the scripture, but she chose the hymn and the liturgy, and it all fit in. She didn't know that I was going to give her the verse, "Be a light. You're the light of the world, let your light shine." And yet all the hymns and the liturgy kind of reflect that, doesn't it, about the light. Paul's charge to Timothy was, keep the good things that you've given. Nurture them. Keep them alive. And we've all